You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agatet. Idaho Fish and Game reports six bats have been found with a nasty fungus in a cave in the eastern part of the state. That fungus can lead to white nose syndrome. That's a deadly disease. It has killed millions of bats in North America over the last 16 years. And it's the first time that this fungus has been found in Idaho. It has been found in Washington, Montana, and Wyoming. Dr. Rita Dixon, Idaho Fish and Game Wildlife Action Plan Coordinator, says she's concerned but not surprised that the fungus has made it to the Gem State. And she's joining us now to tell us more. Welcome back, Dr. Dixon.
Hi, Samantha. Thank you for having me.
Oh, awesome. We're glad you're here. Okay, where was this fungus found?
So we detected the fungus at Minnetonka Cave in southeast Idaho. Minnetonka Cave is a show cave, a limestone show cave that's located in St. Charles Canyon in Bear Lake County, Idaho. And so Minnetonka Cave serves as a hibernaculum for at least seven bat species. So it's the largest and most species-rich hibernacula in the state.
What is a hibernacula?
Thank you for bringing that up. So a hibernaculum for bats is a winter roost. So what happens is bats from around the vicinity, we don't know how far from Minnetonka, all aggregate at Minnetonka in the winter and go into hibernation. So a hibernaculum is where animals hibernate. So this is a bat hibernaculum.
Cool.
So the bats congregate there for the winter and spend the winter there and then typically emerge in May and leave for their summer roost areas.
Gotcha. And when was the fungus found?
So we actually were there last October, so October 2021, for a fall capture event with the U.S. Forest Service and U.S. Geological Survey's National Wildlife Health Center. So we were capturing bats, and as we captured the bats, we swabbed them for diagnostics for the fungus that causes white nose syndrome, which is Pseudogymnoascus destructans, or PD for short. So
I'm glad you said that.
So this is a research project with the U.S. Geological Survey's National Wildlife Health Center. So their lab recently processed those samples and then notified Idaho Department of Fish and Game that they had found some positive hits for the fungus.
Wow. Okay, so tell us more about white nose syndrome. What is it? What does it do? When was it first found in the West?
So white nose syndrome is a deadly disease of hibernating bats that's caused by the invasive fungus PD that we just talked about. It's primarily spread bat to bat, so bat to bat transmission. However, there is evidence for human assisted transmission. And what I mean by that is the fungus, because this disease is caused by a fungus, fungal hyphae, part of the fungus can, for example, break off. If someone is in an infected cave, for example, the fungal hyphae might attach to one's clothing or backpack or gear, or the spores from the fungus could also attach to someone's clothing or gear. And one of the biggest problems with this disease is that the fungus, because it produces spores, those spores can exist in the environment for years, and we don't really know how long they're viable. But there is plenty of evidence that once the fungus is introduced into a particular cave, for example, then it pretty much persists. Oh, and then back to your question about when it was in the West. So it first was confirmed in the West in March of 2016 in Washington State. That first bat, unlike the Idaho detections of the fungus, the first detection in Washington State was the actual disease. A hiker found a little brown myotis on a trail on the ground, saw that something was wrong with it, picked it up, took it to a rehabber in Washington. The bat died, was submitted for white nose diagnostics at the National Wildlife Health Center, and was confirmed for the disease. So, what's interesting about that particular case is prior to the Washington confirmation of white nose syndrome, the spread of the disease and the fungus was moving from east to west across North America. The Washington case was disjunct from all of the other detections we had had. And since then, it has continued to spread in Washington, as well as now there are inconclusive cases in California.
So I'm afraid to ask this because I think bats are adorable, but how does it kill them?
Did you say how does it kill them? Is that what
Yeah,
you asked
yeah.
about that? So the exact mechanism of death is not known, but bats apparently die from secondary physiological complications, primarily depleted fat reserves that are associated with too frequent arousals from hibernation. We also think that it disrupts their water balance, which results in them becoming dehydrated and not surviving the winter. So, hibernation, when bats hibernate, one of the other complicating things for bats with respect to this disease is because they didn't evolve with it in North America, this is what we call a novel pathogen that our bats had never been exposed to. So when bats go into hibernation, their immune system is pretty much suppressed. So they also don't have, they're not able to fight back against the fungus as it invades their wing membranes, tail membranes, and ears, and gets into the cells. They can't fight that like they would be able to if they were at normal body temperatures. And so, for bats to survive the winter, they draw on their brown adipose fat reserves to get through the winter. But the fungus, as it invades their tissues, they wake up or arouse throughout the winter. And bats normally arouse a certain number of times throughout the winter, but this disease causes them to arouse more frequently. Every time they come out of hibernation, a bat shivers to warm up, and that takes energy. So they're using those fat reserves to come out of hibernation. And the more they come out of hibernation and they deplete those reserves, they get to a point where they don't survive. And that's one of the big, that's why it's such a problem.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're speaking with Dr. Rita Dixon, Idaho Fish and Game Wildlife Action Plan Coordinator, about the fungus that can cause white nose syndrome in bats, which has been found for the first time in Idaho. So let's get back to the cave, and you described it as a place where a lot of species of bats get together to hibernate, and I'm guessing that's a really bad spot to get the fungus and the white nose syndrome, if there are all those kinds of bats in there, as you're saying, at risk.
Yes, and the biggest concern is for the myotis species bats, and we have multiple myotis in Minnetonka Cave. And the three bat species that tested positive for the fungus are little brown myotis, long-legged myotis, and Yuma myotis. All three of those have been confirmed for the disease outside of Idaho. And so that's why we're concerned, because we know that with little brown in particular, in other parts of the country, especially the Northeast and Eastern Seaboard, that species has experienced population declines of 90 to 100% at some sites. And so the problem too is because we have all these different species mixing in Minnetonka, That means that potentially all of the bat species that hibernate in Minnetonka have the potential to get exposed to the fungus because either from bat to bat exposure or from the cave substrate itself. If the fungus is on the substrate and the bat's roosting there, the fungus could attach to the bat and then infect it.
Wow. That's amazing. 90 to 100%. I think I was reading about bats. They don't, just when they have pups, they don't have, like a dozen at a time. It's a slow process.
Yes, and that's why this has become such a major conservation issue in North America because it's bats are more what we call intrinsically vulnerable than a lot of other species, and that's because of their life history strategy. Bats are long-lived. We think we have evidence that little browns live at least 20 years or longer. They're the longest a bat has been documented to live is about 40 years. So they live a long time, but they typically, most bat species, all of our bat species in Idaho, most of them only give birth to one pup per year. We have some bat species, silver-haired hoary bat, for example, that give birth to twins. But still, what happens is bats mate in the fall, they give birth the following summer. If they lose that pup, that's it. They can't have another pup and for another year. And so that complicates recovery when we see these significant population declines because they can't just repopulate. It can take decades or even longer for bats to recover.
Wow. Okay, so as I said, bats are adorable and you're breaking my heart, but there are also economic implications for Idaho to have this here, ecological implications. What are those?
So, one of the most important things about bats economically and their value to Idaho on that front is bats are voracious predators on insects. All of our bats in Idaho are insectivorous, and they feed on a lot of insects that are agricultural pests or forest insect pests. And so, losing bats. What that translates into, like right now, that's actually been quantified across the country. And for Idaho, the estimate was that bats are worth approximately $313 million annually to Idaho's agricultural industry. And that's basically through an offset of bats providing an ecological service to farmers by eating crop pests. That helps us. And not only economically, but also with respect to our health. That means, fewer pesticides on the land. And ecologically, bats also move nutrients around. They're really important in cave ecosystems. So there are lots of ways that bats contribute not only to human health, but our economy. They also feed on some insects that cause insect-borne diseases for humans, like West Nile virus, by feeding on mosquitoes, although mosquitoes aren't the main insect prey, but they do form part of the diet for some bat species.
Wow. Okay. So, how can people help out? Let's start with not spreading it, if you're going in and out of caves.
Yes, the most important thing, if people are going in and out of cave environments, the most important thing you can do is to follow national decontamination protocols. There's a national response team that Idaho is part of, and there's a website, whitenosesyndrome.org, that you can go to, and there is a link that shows all the ways you can help. And one of the most important ways you can help is to, one, stay out of caves if you don't need to be in them. If you are a recreational caver or you're working in a cave or an abandoned mine, then we would ask that you respect these decontamination protocols and protect our bats by decontaminating your gear.
And I know you also want people to keep an eye out if they see, say, a lot of dead bats on the ground.
Yes, and so now that we know the fungus is here, we want to make sure that everyone is aware to keep an eye out. And so we track what's called unusual mortality events, and that is defined by five or more dead bats at the same place at the same time, and at the same time, generally within a week's period of time. So we have a reporting mechanism on the Fish and Game website where people can report these, and if we do find some of these events, we look into them. The other thing is that what we want to make sure doesn't happen is that if somebody just sees a bat roosting, we don't want you to assume there's something wrong with it because that often happens. And a bat that's just literally hanging out sleeping is not a problem. We're worried about sick and dead bats that are found on the ground. And so please, if you find those, report them. And then the other thing I just want to make sure people are aware of is typically by the time bats come out of hibernation and warm up and move to their summer roosts, they typically groom the fungus off. And if they have been infected, they're not typically going to show that classic white fuzz on their nose or wing membranes. We typically only see that during November to May.
Wow. Okay, we've been speaking with Dr. Rita Dixon, Idaho Fish and Game Wildlife Action Plan Coordinator, about the fungus that can cause white nose syndrome in bats being found for the first time in Idaho. Dr. Dixon, thank you so much for this really good information.
Well, thank you, Samantha. I really appreciate the opportunity to raise awareness for bats.
Absolutely. All right. Up next, we're going to step inside a local death cafe. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agata. You're listening to Idaho Matters.